There's a new book out called Homer Simpson Marches on Washington, Descent Through American Popular Culture. Now, this is a set of essays edited by Timothy M. Dale and Joseph J. Foy. Now, we're going to talk about this book because it's more than just The Simpsons, and we'll talk about that right off the bat. We have John Alberti, who is a professor of English from Northern Kentucky University. Thanks for being here. And let's get your kind of qualifications noted here. You yourself have written a book about The Simpsons.
In 2004, I edited an essay collection called Leaving Springfield, The Simpsons and the Possibility of Oppositional Culture, which in some ways is dealing with the same subject matter that this book is, only just focused on The Simpsons, and that's looking at popular culture as a conduit for political ideas, and particularly for oppositional political ideas or dissent, as this book suggests.
Right off the bat, let's point out this is not a book on just The Simpsons.
That's right.
But it's a look at pop culture's effect on society through mostly TV and movies. And like you said, dissent. How is actually, you know, like a cartoon show and dissent kind of collaborating like that?
The most obvious ways are when a TV show, a movie, uses a political topic as the theme of the show. The Simpsons has done that many times. We'll take on a current political issue. South Park does this. And the book references All in the Family as one of the most famous instances of a television program that would feature political issues right up front.
Now, they say it's one of the first TV shows ever to actually tackle the political issues of the day. I mean, there, of course, you did it on talk shows, political Sunday morning shows, but this was an actual first entertainment show to do
right.
that.
There were some dramatic shows earlier in the 60s that would feature serious or current events issues, but certainly for a situation comedy, All in the Family was the most overt in talking about political issues. Now, the other way of looking at it is that politics is just a part of everyday life, just like popular culture is, that everything has a political component to it. So if you look at a show, for example, that was on at the same time as All in the Family, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was dealing with a single woman forging a career in the media industry. Occasionally, the Mary Tyler Moore Show would foreground issues of gender and feminism, but most episodes didn't explicitly talk about Mary's character as related to the women's movement, but it was always kind of a subtext of the show. For those of us who grew up watching it, she was a kind of glamorous figure of an independent young woman who wasn't looking for marriage and children as her number one goal. She instead was focused on her career in the newsroom. So even though that show was not as politically explicit as All in the Family, you could still say there's political content to a show like the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And really, you could say there's political content to anything you see on television or see in the movies. Sometimes it's just more explicit, but sometimes it's a matter of how you choose to view it, the lenses you choose to wear if you want to think about it in a political context.
Another sitcom from some years later, too, another single woman in the newsroom was Murphy Brown.
Absolutely.
And there is a show that I think part of its success was that it did hit what was going on specifically mm-hmm. in Washington at the time. In fact, I think that's part of the reason we don't see it in reruns anymore. It was so very much tied to the moment that it was on the air.
I think that's a very astute comment. You're exactly right. Very similar to the Lou Grant program, a spinoff of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, an hour-long drama with the Lou Grant character as the editor of a newspaper. And in a very similar way, it would also use that as an excuse to focus on topical issues. And I think that's also a reason that show isn't as popular on DVD reruns, because you sort of had to know what was going on at the time to appreciate it. And I think that's very true of Murphy Brown. It would use the headlines as fodder for their comic material.
And also, that particular show, it was speaking to Washington, and also Washington spoke back to Murphy Brown.
It certainly did.
Most famously, Dan Quayle, who commented on the fact that the title character was deciding to become a single parent, and Dan Quayle didn't like that.
That's right. And he brought up the whole issue of how do these programs affect us? How does popular culture affect us? And he was presenting a kind of simple equation of, I suppose, that children would see Murphy Brown having a child outside of wedlock, and so they would want to have a child outside of wedlock. And I think most of us in our own experience know it's probably more complicated than that, than we saw something on TV and we decided that's what we'll do too. But on the other hand, as the book goes into, watching popular culture or listening to popular culture, because they also include music, does help shape what they call our political identity. That is how we think about issues, whether it just raises an awareness of them or models certain kinds of behaviors that we think about. But certainly in the case of Murphy Brown, that was an example of where the political discourse and the entertainment discourse ran right into each other. And in the show then, the following season, Candace Bergen in the character of Murphy Brown sort of directly addressed the vice president. So the line between real and fiction started to get blurry. Of course, when Dan Quayle was talking about Murphy Brown, that wasn't a real person. It was a make-believe character. But then the make-believe character began having a sort of discussion with the real person, Dan Quayle. That was a very interesting moment. At the same time that The Simpsons also was engaged in a kind of debate with the first president, Bush, who suggested that we wanted to have an America where families were more like the Waltons than like the Simpsons. And the Simpsons replied to that on the show saying, we are just like the Waltons. We're hoping to end the Depression. Politicians learned, I think, that it's tricky taking on popular culture because certainly a cartoon or a situation comedy has a lot more weapons at their disposal. They're not running for office, for one thing. They do want to remain popular, but controversy only makes you more popular. So if you have a television program, usually controversy is a good thing because people will turn in and watch.
John Alberti is a professor of English at Northern Kentucky University, and we're talking about a set of essays called Homer Simpson Marches on Washington. One of the essays talks about The Simpsons, and one of the things that has been going through that show through its 20-plus years now is the deep presence of religion and an overwhelming spirituality in the show, which is, for a lot of people, is just a guy and his kids, and he's a pretty dumb guy and gets into a lot of trouble.
Yes. I think what you could say is that The Simpsons has always taken religion seriously, and it's one of the few situation comedies, if you want to include it as a situation comedy, that shows the main family going to church on a regular basis. Their attendance at church is featured on the show. And if you think about other situation comedies in the history of American television, it's only rarely do you see families attending a religious service of any kind. So The Simpsons has always taken it seriously. There's been a couple of other books written about The Simpsons and religion. In fact, there was a story in the newspaper locally about a local church that was using episodes of The Simpsons as part of kind of adult Bible study class, because The Simpsons would frame religious or theological questions and they would use that as a way to get a discussion going. And that hasn't been an unusual occurrence, that other churches, synagogues, other religious organizations have seen the particular episodes of The Simpsons that deal with religious issues as a springboard to discussion. Mainly, I think, because even though The Simpsons satirizes religion, particularly organized religion, as I said earlier, it also takes the issue seriously. It doesn't see spiritual questions as silly. So when Lisa Simpson, for example, is struggling with her own spirituality and how she feels about the religion she was raised in and when she converted to Buddhism, it took those questions seriously. Or when Marge wrestles with questions of what would the church think about this, it doesn't dismiss that as a silly question. It views that as a question that people would find important in their own lives, even if they treat it in a comic way.
Well, we've been talking with John Alberti, who's a professor of English at Northern Kentucky University. It's a whole book on TV shows and movies and music and just how American culture is affecting our lives in general. The book is Homer Simpson Marches on Washington, edited by Timothy M. Dale and Joseph J. Foy. And John Alberti, thanks very much for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.